Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Sean McGowan, Senior Director of Biosimilars at AmerisourceBergen, recently appeared during a series of interviews on NJH Life Sciences Medical World News about the challenges of bringing a biosimilar to market, how to ensure biosimilar competition in the future, and what to keep an eye on as the market grows over time. Today, we are bringing you the first part of that discussion, which focuses on McGowan's thoughts on how 2020 has shaped biosimilar progress and his main predictions for the future of the biosimilars industry. Now, to start us off, can you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your work?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm the Senior Director of Biosimilars at AmerisourceBergen, and so I spend most of my time working with our manufacturer partners who develop and bring to market biosimilar products and work very closely with those manufacturers kind of in the pre-launch phase, and then as they are launching, commercializing those products, bringing those products to market and helping those manufacturers manage the life cycle of those products, ensuring access to those products and ensuring access for our downstream customers and our shared customers, and then also work internally on the strategy of the biosimilar product category as a whole. So how do we grow the category? How do we work with our hospital health system clinic customers to ensure that they have full and open access to these products? And then work on just general education about biosimilars and ensuring any end users are fully educated on this emerging product category and ensuring that the world is educated about these products.
How closely do you work with end users, their physicians and patients, and across what breadth of the country?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So speaking about biosimilars specifically, we look at the category and kind of the end users or our customers kind of in two very broad buckets, one being in the specialty clinic space. So you think about an oncology practice or a rheumatology practice or a GI practice. So any of those specialty practices and clinics that are independently owned that might not be part of a larger system, but are kind of owned and operated by those physicians. And then our other kind of broad bucket are our hospital and health system customers. So, you know, that can be your largest IDN networks that operate in multiple states all the way down to, you know, your more mid-size or your smaller regional health systems that are serving those communities. And so for biosimilars specifically, those are the two biggest quote-unquote end users or customers as we consider them to be utilizers of biosimilars. And we operate in every state in the United States. So we're serving on the hospital health system side, probably over 95% of those hospital and health system customers.
And before we talk about some of the issues faced with biosimilars, let's talk about some of your predictions from last year. You predicted that 8 biosimilars would launch in 2020. It doesn't seem that we're on track for that. Can you explain why?
Yeah, it's funny to think back to the article that you're referencing, and I think we published that just about a year ago. So it was kind of mid-September. We were looking towards calendar year 2020 and, you know, what the biosimilar market would look like. Obviously, the world looks like a much different place than it did a year ago, but, you know, I'm happy to report that 2020 at the beginning of the year was a really fast start for the biosimilar category. We've seen to date 6 biosimilars launch in calendar year 2020. We had a pretty big number of them concentrated that launched kind of in that January, February into early March timeframe. But since then, we've only seen, you know, one product launch kind of mid-year. And it's hard to say what the rest of the year will bring given the global pandemic. We know that there have been slowdowns kind of at every level. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens between now and the end of the year as far as products being approved and launched. Hard to say if we will get to 8, but 6 is the number that we're at right now. And like I said, the year started off at a very fast pace for biosimilars.
And additionally, you stated that during the 5 years from 2019 to 2024, biosimilars would achieve $78 billion in savings, and almost double that by 2026. Are we on track? And also, why or why not?
Yeah, so we were referring back to the RAND Corporation study that was doing a forward-looking calculation on the type of savings that the biosimilar market and products we're going to drive, you know, several years into the future. We don't have an exact number on what's been saved across the last year, but I believe that, you know, savings are happening. We know that they're happening. We're seeing an increase in the utilization of these products kind of at every customer level. You know, so I believe that significant saving, you know, when we look back in this period of time, that we'll be able to point to a significant amount of savings through utilizing these products. You know, it's an interesting question, and kind of, you know, as we look at the world, fall of 2019 into fall 2020, what we're seeing and hearing from our collective group of customers, whether it's in the clinic space or the hospital health system space, is that just the financial pressures that are being imposed upon some of these larger customers, especially in the hospital health system space, these entities and these organizations are looking for ways to drive savings. And what's crept up to the top of the list to help drive these savings is utilizing biosimilar products, just because of the cost of the innovator products and how heavily utilized as innovator products are. For a large health system, it can be in the hundreds of millions of dollars if you're talking about oncology care or dispensing an infliximab type of product, depending on the types of patients that are coming in and being treated. So as customers, especially in the hospital health system space, look at their current utilization and then look at the amount of savings that biosimilars can drive, you know, they're looking at that overall spend in the pharmacy and saying there's some real potential here and there's something that we can do pretty immediately to drive those savings. So we're really encouraged by that. We're hearing from our hospital and health system customers on a much more regular basis, you know, right now saying, hey, we need help deploying a biosimilar strategy. How do we switch over? How have others done it that have done it before us, and how have they done it successfully? Help us figure this out. And that's part of what we've always done at AmerisourceBergen, is to educate the market, is to deliver those insights, is to help customers succeed in a situation like this.
Now, transitioning to the biosimilars market, what is happening when biosimilar developers launch a product? And although it is theoretically cheaper than the reference product, it's not getting picked up by physicians.
You know, it's an interesting point, and I think that this is a situation that continues to evolve really based on the overall health system as a whole and how either products do or don't get adopted. There are a lot of factors that are involved. I think from the onset, even before a biosimilar is approved, or once it does get approval, but before launch, there's a significant amount of litigation and a legal battle that ensues between the innovator company and the biosimilar company. You've seen with every single biosimilar that's been brought to market that there's been some sort of legal action or litigation brought against that biosimilar manufacturer. So even before a product is launched to the market and becomes available for patients and physicians to utilize, it's already having to overcome legal challenges and hurdles posed by those innovator companies. But then as you look at those products and as they come onto the market, there are challenges at every level, specifically in the health plan or the payer market, where health plans may or may not have a fully baked biosimilar strategy from a coverage perspective. So you could have a physician or a hospital or health system out there that is looking to switch over to a specific biosimilar, but the payers that they are partnered with and are working with and that are covering the patients that are walking through their doors, that product may not be specifically covered by that payer. So that creates a challenge. Yeah, I think the rebating issue is another kind of hurdle. It's another defense mechanism that innovator companies can utilize to block the coverage of biosimilars. We've seen that play out in the infliximab market, which biosimilars have been in that space for over 3 years, and the penetration of those biosimilars into that innovator product market share has not really been significant. So, you know, one, I would say it depends really on the type of product that you're talking about, the type of market, who are the innovator companies, kind of the commercial strategies that they're putting in place to defend that market share, the litigation strategies they're putting into place. I also think another major hurdle which continues to prevent the more quicker uptake of biosimilars is really around education. So how educated are the payers and the health plans around biosimilars? How are the physicians and the directors of procurement and the pharmacists that are ordering and starting to utilize these products? And what we see is that every customer is at a different stage of education around biosimilars. Some are at the very beginning stages where they're just kind of getting their heads wrapped around, all right, what products are available, what innovator products are being referenced. And then all the way to the other end of the spectrum of customers that are much more advanced, have adopted products already, understand they don't need to go out and educate their pharmacists and their physicians. They know what products are available. They know how to order them. They know how to navigate the payer coverage, potential challenges there, They know how to get the prior authorization. They know where to go. They've done this before. So, you know, it's kind of a combination of things once a product is launched and whether or not it will be adopted.
Well, Sean, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.